121. That's where we're going to be this morning, Psalm 121. It is a poetic psalm. It's written in a special way that points our attention to verse 5. So if you have your Bible, I also put it in your notes, Psalm 121. It's a short psalm. You have to work through Psalm 119 to get there. Okay. Psalm 121. Everything in this poem points to verse 5. It all points to the middle of this psalm. And Psalm 121, verse 5 says, "The Lord is your keeper." All of this goes around the concept that God is your keeper. He's your hedge. Jesus guards you, keeps you, preserves you, watches over you, protects you. That's all involved in this word keeper. What brought me to this psalm this morning is just a personal lack of care or concern about this truth about God, that He keeps us, preserves us. That I am completely dependent on God for everything. Food, air, shelter. What got me to this thought is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We were talking about this as we finished up 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. I'll just read this verse. It's probably one of the most encouraging, comforting scriptures in the whole Bible. This one verse, I would challenge you to find me a more comforting verse about your life in the scriptures. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a nice thing. It's a great prayer that God would sanctify us completely and that God would preserve our body and our soul and our mind complete. He'd preserve us complete, blameless. But that's what it is. It's a prayer. It's a wish. It's a hope. God, I hope this happens for these people. But then Paul says in the next verse, this is very interesting, Paul says, "Now, faithful is he who calls you, and he will do it." So this is a prayer for my church, and God is faithful, he will do it. So I understand this, the concept of sanctifying completely. I get that. I clearly see a need in my life to be sanctified more and more. I have personal things I struggle with daily. I get that prayer. I want to be sanctified completely. What I don't fully appreciate, though, is this preservation, that God would preserve me complete, body, soul, spirit. And so I was thinking about that. Why? Why don't I think about that more? Why don't I consider God keeping me and guarding me? And I came to a couple thoughts. First of all, my family's pretty healthy, besides a few cavities, things in the Wallace home. Pretty healthy. We have four children. They're healthy children. My wife's healthy. My parents are healthy. My wife's parents are healthy. We're all healthy. Everything's going well. We live in luxury. I mean, compared to what we just saw, like, luxury. Then, last Sunday we preached on the image of God, which is a glorious thing that all humans possess, the image of God. And God, through His Son, is restoring His image in and through us. And so, I don't know if you remember last week I talked about, just briefly, what Jesus says about this value that we have as humans because we bear the image of God. It's something that birds and animals don't have, but we as humans have this image. And so Jesus in Matthew 6, I'll just read it for you, 25 and 26, he says, "For this reason I say to you, don't be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or and what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span? And so Jesus just drills into us through the Sermon on the Mount God's love and his care for us. So I've been thinking about that, and I think, well, either it's 100% true what Jesus says, or it's not. It's certainly not half true. And his people, the people of God, can bear testimony to that truth. But we struggle with that. We worry about food, clothing, and shelter. We spend a lot of time talking about those things and thinking about those things. We shouldn't. People dying don't think about those things. They don't think about food, clothing, and shelter. People with stage 4 cancer don't worry about that stuff. They worry about God preserving their body complete, soul, spirit, and body. So last week, we had Janine Filoni share her testimony with us. One word for Janine's testimony: phenomenal. Phenomenal. She gets up here with a skirt on, so it's down to here, right? And we could see her prosthetic, right? And she tells us the story, what happened. And I remember in the story, I'll try to get this right, she's pinned up against a pole in front of Little Caesars in Raley's parking lot. Pinned up, truck, Janine, pole, right? And she's thinking, I'm going to die. And remember what she said? I wasn't afraid. Phenomenal. That meant so much to me. I don't want to have to go through that, but it's sure neat to see a believer just not be afraid of death. Peace of God, preservation of God. Recently, a couple of incidents have come up. We had a guy in church with cancer. I went down and visited him in San Francisco. We're in his hotel. It's kind of like a hotel room. It's pretty nice, but more of a hospital room. We're looking out the view of his third floor room. Beautiful view of the city. I can sit on his bed with him, and I can say, you know, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Last week, I'm in ICU with a guy from church. His family's a little bit in despair over the situation that he's in. I don't know if they're believers or not. I said, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Why? Because God says he's going to preserve us and keep us, our spirit and our soul and our body. So whether we live or whether we die, we're with the Lord. We're going to be fine. But our perspectives change in different circumstances. I initially began meditating on Psalm 121, January of 2005. It says, Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. For whence shall my help come? Where will my help come from? On January 4th, two mountains in my life died on the same day, my grandpa and my pastor, 3 hours apart. And I got the privilege of preaching that Sunday. Nobody wanted to preach. I got to preach. So we preached Psalm 121. God's our keeper. That's what the church needed to hear. I wasn't ready for that. Life's a curious thing. It's unpredictable. It's full of surprises. It's short. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. You drink coffee, that vapor on the cup of your coffee, it's gone. It's here and it's gone. Last night I was at my 20th year reunion, like I was saying. It was the weirdest thing. They sent out the way they the way they communicate the reunion is through Facebook. And so they sent me this invitation, and they show everybody that's going from class of 1993 from El Molino. And they just basically put all our pictures from our senior portraits in. So I saw all these people, like 30, 40 people. And I'm like, Jill, I know this person. I remember this person. We're just going through. And this guy, I need to go and apologize to this guy. I was a jerk to this guy. I think he found I was coming and he didn't go. Anyway, so. But I saw these senior portraits, you know, and it just took me back, you know, 20 years ago. And then I walk into this room down in Rohnert Park. And I'm like, I'm seeing all of your parents. Right? Because 20 years ago, we were in high school, 18. When I saw their parents, you know, Forestville is a small community, I saw their parents, they were in their late 30s, early 40s. So now I don't see them for 20 years, and I go in and I see all their parents, and I'm just, whoa. It was a trip. It was a great time, though. But anyway, all that to say, it's just so short. Life is so short. It just goes by. God is your keeper. He's your preserver. This is really important to your worship, how you worship God, understanding this truth of who God is in your life and what he does for you. One person said, if God doesn't help, nothing can help. And if he helps, nothing can hinder. Say that again. If God doesn't help, nothing can help. And if he helps, nothing can hinder. And so I hope this psalm is just a blessing for you this morning and thinking about and meditating on God as our keeper. If you see there on the title of in your Bible, it probably says something above that called a song of ascents. A song of ascents. This is important because this was a psalm that the Jewish people would sing as they went up to the temple on the Sabbath to worship. And so the temple... You got to go to Israel one day. Anyway, the temple's up on Mount Moriah, and they would go up these steps, and the steps were, they weren't even steps. They weren't like these steps right here. They were all spread differently. There's still, some of the steps are still there. You could still see these. And part of that was just the meters to how they would sing the songs, but the other part was to keep them thinking and meditating on this. It wasn't just kind of, okay, here we go up these steps, boom, we're here. It was a little bit of a struggle getting and thinking about God. And so as they would walk up these steps, they would sing some of these songs. And so God gave us this song of him being our keeper so that as we go to worship God, we would understand that he's the one that keeps us. He preserves us. He gives us what we need to live life. So the question I have on your notes, what motivates your heart to worship God? And I think as we study this truth, it's because he's our keeper. He preserves us. So in this psalm, I'll just point it out before I read through it because I want you to see this. The word keep is used 6 times in 8 verses. In verse 3, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. In verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel. In verse 5, we talked about this, the Lord is your keeper. In verse 7, the Lord will protect you from all evil. That word protect, it's the same word in Hebrew for keeper. He will keep you from all evil. And also in verse 7, he will keep your soul. In verse 8, the Lord will guard your going out. That's the same word for keep. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. We need that repetition. We forget these things. The Apostle Paul says something similar in Colossians 3:1. They were dealing with some persecution. Paul was being persecuted. He wrote in Colossians 3:1, therefore, since you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Keep your heads up, Christian. Keep looking up. See Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where is my help coming from? It's been noted that it's usually not so much the greatness of our troubles as the littleness of our spirit that makes us disgruntled complainers. So much of life is perspective, our outlook. When we think about this verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, there's a couple ways historically you can consider this. One view is that the Jews were in exile in Babylon. And Babylonia, if you've seen some of the stuff in Iraq and some of these places in the Middle East, it's just flat. And so and Babylon has just been flat. So one idea is that they were looking up to the mountains and they were looking towards Jerusalem, considering I'm in bondage, I'm looking for help. God is my help. Another way of understanding this, if you remember going up the steps to worship God, I will look up to the mountains. Where will my help come from? Just a little geographical lesson. If they were walking up to Mount Moriah, on the left or the west would be Mount Zion, Davidic covenant, all the promises to David, King David, all of that history of Israel. Straight ahead, I will lift my eyes up to the mountains, Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered up Isaac, and all the promises to Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant. Or the mountains could be to the right, the Mount of Olives, where the Messiah would come and where he will return, and all the messianic promises and all the promises of the new covenant. So I will lift my eyes up to the mountains. All these thoughts flood their minds, right? Where will my help come from? Come from the Lord. So what God does here in showing us these things is, first of all, he gives us his qualifications. God, what qualifies you to be my keeper? I know that might sound trivial, but I just want to, God talks about it so we can think about that this morning. And then how does God keep us? What does he do in our lives to keep us? So this is what's explained in this text. So let me read here. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, for where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. So just a couple qualifications for God being our keeper. What qualifies God to be our keeper? God, what's on your resume that qualifies you to be the keeper of my body, soul, and spirit? Okay? Two things. He's made everything. See that? Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And he doesn't sleep. The end of verse 3. He who keeps you won't slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God, what are your qualifications? God says, I've created everything and I don't sleep. Okay. Those are good, really good qualifications. Okay? The best. That's what you need to know about God. Do you remember when God wrote us a book called the Bible? You'd think the first words would be important. I want to grab your attention by what I'm writing to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's an attention grabber. Okay? That should kind of grab a hold of your thinking a little bit and go, whoa, who is this God who cares for me and loves me? I We get the joy of being in Sonoma County, just going through creation, going to Armstrong Woods and going out and just the girth and magnitude of some of these trees that God has created, how big God is. And since we live in Northern California, we could see the stars. My in-laws live in Southern California, so they come up here to see the stars. They're these lights out there. And it's just magnificent how great God is. And I don't know about you, but when I see the stars, how far away and how great they are, it's humbling. It's, whoa, this God is huge, and He cares for me. He's mindful of me. Just was thinking about this a little more. What does creation teach us about protection and preservation? What does the ozone layer mean to you? What does a mother bear protecting her young teach us about protection, keeping? What does the shell of a turtle teach us about protection and care? I was sitting up in Foothill Park praying the other day, way up near the top, and I heard these things moving in the bushes. And I look over and there was a coyote running through, a big one. But it looked just like the grass. The colors of it were the same as the grass. And then I heard another one jumping over here. At first I thought it was a shepherd dog of some sort. I was hoping I would see an owner, but no, it's just a coyote, a big one. And then on the left of me, there was another coyote that ran through. And so then I ran another direction. But anyway, it was interesting how the colors, how it blended right in there. I don't know if you ever consider this. Tears, the fluid in your eye, has what's called lysozymes. And those protect you from bacteria. Your eye is it's exposed to the elements. And so God's put lysozymes. Same thing in the white of an egg that protects this egg. But those lysozymes are also in our eyes in the fluid. And this is what it does to the bacteria. The lysozyme is an enzyme that first of all attacks the bacteria. Then it connects itself to the bacteria. Then it binds the bacteria. Then it strains the bacteria. Then it distorts the bacteria. Then it stresses the bacteria. And then it breaks the bacteria. It's pretty impressive. I mean, if I was a defensive coordinator for a football team, I'd want to kind of work through those steps of how can I break my opponent. Those are some pretty good things. Boom, 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 you know? It's all from God. It's what He's done. It's how He's created it. So that's the first qualification. He's created all things, and He cares for us. I was talking to a friend last night at the reunion, and his wife said he worships on Sunday. He worships the Raiders on Sunday. And so I said, buddy, won't say his name, just call him buddy. Buddy, the Raiders don't care about you. Worship something that cares about you. People that worship creation, naturalism, tree doesn't care about you. Ocean doesn't care about you. God cares about you. Okay, second qualification is that God doesn't sleep. He will not slumber. That's the idea. He'll never get caught off guard. He's always watching. This was important for me as we had our first child, Gabe. It was just so precious to have this little child in our house. And he was hard. It was really hard our first couple weeks with Gabe. Remember one night it was me and Jill and Jill's mom, Beth. We were all laying in bed in tears because of how hard Gabe was. And so Beth had this really novel idea. She goes, we should pray. Yes. Okay. It just helped praying. What it helped was I realized that God created my son. He's a gift from God. I can go to sleep because God doesn't go to sleep. And either does Gabe at this point in his life. They can be up together, you know. My first trip to Mexico, we led 50 students, high school students, down to Mexico. And so I'm responsible for these 50 children, taking them into this other nation down south. One of the dads, who's a sheriff officer, he comes up to me and he says, "So Lance, you're going to bring my daughter back, right?" I said, "Well, I'm going to try as best as I can." "Let me ask you or tell you again, Lance, you're going to bring my daughter back, right?" "Yes, I am going to bring your daughter back." "Good answer." He turned away, walked away. God, yes, he's going to take care of us. He never goes to sleep. He never slumbers, never takes his eye off of us. So then what does he keep? There's a couple of things that he protects in this psalm. He protects our physical, he protects our path, and he protects our person. He protects the pathway that we're on in life, and he protects us. He not only protects our physical outer man, but he protects our inner man, our spirit, our soul. Habakkuk, to me, is a great example of this. He gets this concept of God being our keeper. He could say at the end of Habakkuk, I don't know if you know the story of Habakkuk, but there's a nation ready to come in and destroy Israel, put them back into captivity and exile. And he says, "Though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he's made my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me walk on my high places." And so as we think about this, may we have hearts like Habakkuk that get the greatness of God and how much he cares for each of us. So he keeps our path. He protects our path. We see in verse 3, he will not allow your foot to slip. And then if you look down at verse 8, the Lord will guard or keep your going out and your coming in. If you've ever hiked up at Shiloh or Foothill or Annadel, anywhere for that matter, there's a couple of things that have to take place for you to have a successful hike. First of all, you have to watch the placement of your feet, because you don't want to get hurt out there. Also, there needs to be a path for you to go on. Somebody had to create a path for you to go. God does this for us in our life. He's this God who created everything, yet he's mindful of my steps. See, I had a neighbor in Forestville, a great guy. Love this guy. He's a little bit older than my parents. And we had a conversation one day, and he said, "Lance, I don't get it." He says, "I don't know why people pray for little things in life, because God has so many big things to take care of." And I just remember thinking, God cares about our steps. He's big. He's a big God. He watches my steps. He cares about detail. This idea of Habakkuk saying he's made my feet like hinds' feet. Hind is like a deer. And if you've ever been on some rocky places and maybe you've seen a mountain goat, that's the idea. It's called an ibex in Israel. First time I saw an ibex, the study program for Master's College is called ibex, and it's a picture of a goat. Anyway, so when I was in Israel, I got to see an ibex, like a 1,000-foot sheer cliff. These goats just walk and do their thing. They don't care. It's amazing. The confidence they have. He guards our steps. I want to just show you a couple things. If you look ahead to Proverbs chapter 3, just turn ahead. I want to show you a couple things about our way and our path in life that I think will help you. Proverbs 3, verse 5 is one of the most well-known proverbs. in the Bible, one of the most well-known verses, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." We lean too much on our understanding. He says, "In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths," plural, "straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." So this idea, in all your ways, in all your journeys, in all your passion, and the way you're going and heading in life, he says, acknowledge God in these ways, and He will give you a straight path, paths in each of these ways. And what I want to just help you understand is your joy and the things that you desire in life, how God's created you, isn't exclusive from God's will. He's given you desires and things He wants you to be about. He's given you a way, but He wants you to acknowledge His way. And don't trust in your own understanding, and He'll give you a straight path. He'll give you a smooth path. He'll give you a level path. If you look down at verse 13 of Proverbs 3, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." As Christians, we understand what and who that is. That's Christ. Colossians 2 verse 3 says, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, it says, "Christ has become for us wisdom from God." So when you find Christ in life, you find the wisdom and knowledge of God. So last night as I was sharing my testimony with people, so like, what happened to Lance, right? Had a lot of good conversations last night. I found Christ. I found wisdom and knowledge. I found forgiveness of sin. I found out how to be a dad. I found out how to be a husband. I found out how to be a worker. I found out how to study. Why? Because He makes our path straight. He gave me His wisdom and His knowledge and His Son. And people are just like, whoa, it was a pretty interesting time we had. It was really good. And we talked about the freedom, free in Christ. Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. People think of Christianity as a bunch of rules. It couldn't be anything further from that. It's freedom from rules, freedom from law. Look at verse 17. "Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace." I don't know one person who doesn't want peace and pleasant ways. You find it in Christ. Verse 18, "She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happy are all who hold her fast." Who doesn't want to be happy? Verse 19, "The Lord by wisdom," watch this, "founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew." Right? That's who God is. That's the qualifications of Him being our keeper again, right? So verse 23, "Then you'll walk in your way securely." That's this. We want to walk securely in life. "Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." Right? Better than Tylenol PM. "Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes." Watch this, verse 26. "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." It's the same thing in Psalm 121. So for us to get this path of God, we have to come to Christ and learn from Christ and come to His Word and understand wisdom and knowledge. And He gives it all to us. I mean, He gives us a lot. This is just special revelation. And then you think of general revelation, all the things we can learn through creation. Those are bigger books. So he guards our path, but He also guards our person. He guards our physical person and our spiritual person. So back in Psalm 121, First, the physical person. He says, the Lord, in verse 5, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. What does that mean? The right hand in the scriptures is our, in general, our working hand. So it's a focus on our work and how God shades or protects us through our day at work. That's why we have things called like workman's comp, right? Because all of our jobs have a certain amount of risk involved. Especially if you teach kindergarten. There's a tremendous amount of risk in that classroom. So we let them wear jeans at the school. But he guards, he's our shade. And that idea of shade is the idea that he has to be between our hand and the harm. That's how close and near God is to us. He protects us. Close to us. Also, not just our work, but there's things that happen in life that can be dangerous. There's things that happen in the daytime that can be dangerous. There's things that happen at night that can be dangerous. So he says in verse 6, he says, the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The things in the daytime won't harm you. The things at night won't harm you. So these harmful elements, God protects us and keeps us from. If you have your Bible, if you want to turn back to Psalm 91, I just want to show you the picture that the Bible gives us of this protecting our physical body from the day's harms. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter, this is so cool, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence or diseases. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. Right? Morning and evening, God protects you and keeps you. If we only knew of all the dangers that are out there as we live life, we would probably wear a helmet, you know, and we would think differently, but he keeps us. He guards us. They rode on horses back then, right? We drive Mini Coopers that go over 100 miles an hour. A little more dangerous, I would say. I mean, this should even mean more to us now. So God guards our physical person, and he guards our spiritual person. He's our shepherd. He is our physician of our soul. So if you look at verse, watch how he guards our spiritual person in verse 7, back in Psalm 121, verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. You could underline all there. That's an amazing concept. The Lord will guard you from Satan. He will guard you from the world. He will guard you from your own flesh. In Christ, he is victorious over all of those aspects of evil that can be found in the world. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He guards you from all evil. It's crazy. He will keep your soul. Remember Jesus, how he prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. or from evil. Right? Jesus prays that because it's only God who can protect us from evil. At the end, he says, "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in." This applies in so many areas of life, but just think of as a child going out in the playground, coming into the house, going out, coming in, and then you go out to go to school and you come back in, and then you go out to work and then you come back in. You just go out and in throughout your life. And that changes based on where you're at in life. But he guards that path, where we're going and we're coming back in. He says he does this from this time forth. He's doing this today. He's guarding you as you left your house, you're going to come back to your house. But what's really interesting about this, he says he's going to do it forever. You see that? He's going to do this forever. What that means is there's going to come a day when we're going to go out of this world and we're going to come into the presence of God. You see? So for Jim Cole, Saturday morning, 2 a.m., went out of this world and into the presence of God. Because God is our keeper. He guards that path. Guards that path. Let me pray. Father, thank you for being our keeper. Thank you for watching over us, Lord. As we at the end here, just we partake of communion and remember what you've done for us, Lord, I pray that you would help us to just really consider what you've done for us in Christ. You've given us this meal to remember you, God. And I know we've gone a little bit over time. I pray that the children's workers would be safe. And we pray that you would just help us enjoy celebrating what you've done for us in Christ. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take communion this morning.